Very thankful to be here in Louisiana today with all you dear ones. We appreciate the comfort the Lord gives to us and the help that He gives in our times of troubles and problems. The Lord is, He's so good to help us, and I appreciate that very much this morning. And I'm a person that takes notes, and my memory is not the best sometimes, and I write quite a few notes down, so if you'll bear with me this morning and pray for me that the Lord would be with us and He would minister to the needs that each of us have in our life. The book of Matthew, I'd like to start there. The Lord seemed like inspired this word again to me today, so I want to share some things with you. It's not the first time that I've used some of these same scriptures, but I don't know any new ones I could surprise you with today that you probably haven't heard anyway. And I believe there's something good in all of the Word of God. The book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 14th verse says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I think it's important today for all of us to have a light about us, to have something inside of us, because I believe the world is getting darker as time goes by. There's lots of darkness in this world, and the Lord wants to help us, each one, to shine. And I have some scriptures and some definitions here about light, so bear with me just a moment. I believe there's a character that is needed to brighten a life. I believe there's the character of Christ. One place He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." I believe having the mind of Christ, the character of Christ, is something needed to give light to this dark world. We surely are in a period of darkness, and we need the Lord to help us. Character that's needed to brighten life. I believe for each of us to be creative, considerate, resourceful, reliable, and resilient. This morning I was meditating about these things, and I thought, well, you know, Lord, how would a person with limited resources be a light? How would a person that is older and maybe not able to get out be a light? How would a person that is very bashful be able to get out and do anything? And the Lord brought the story of the four lepers that was shut out of the city that was besieged. He brought that to my mind. And here these four leprous men was out, and they had come to a place. Maybe I'll read just a little bit of this to you and share some of this with you in the book of 2 Kings, the 7th chapter. And the 3rd verse, "There were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall on the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall but die.'" You know, that is a pretty desperate place to be in. We're going to die either way you look at it. But you know what they did? These men got up and they did something. Movement. You know, sometimes in real estate they say, you know, if you're not, nothing happens till you sell something. Somebody's got to get out and stir up a little bit of excitement, or do a little something, beat the bushes, maybe you might say, and go out there and find something to sell. And I think it's important to us that we not get down into a place where we just say, well, what's the deal? We're going to die either way we go. If we stay here, we're going to die. We go into the Syrians. It's got us, got this city and our people besieged. We're going to die over there. Let's just go and see what they'll do to us. And you know, as they got up and they went around and began going into the tents and found that there was food, and they just started hauling things out from one place to the other. They'd haul it out and go hide it and haul it. And then they looked at each other and said, you know, we don't do well. We're going to get caught, you know, if by the morning light, and we've got to do something. Let's not just take this on ourselves. But they went back and they told the man keeping the gate, said, listen, we went in the Syrians' camp and we found all this provisions. We found everything. And some of them thought, well, yeah, it's a trap. You know, you're going to be trapped, and it's not really true. But anyway, they sent a few to check it out, and come to find out, yes, they had left clothes and their pots and pans and weapons and whatever scattered. They took off running. And I find something very encouraging in this today, that we don't need to just sit back and say, well, we're paralyzed with fear, we're paralyzed with our age, we're paralyzed with this and that. But there is something about being the light of the world. The Lord wants to help us to shine. These men, by getting up, and they had leprosy, of course. They were limited in what they could do, but they could still talk, and they could still get around, but they helped save a city. I want to say to us today, small things mean a lot. There was two or three brethren years ago that was around Tulsa area. They were praying for people. And as Brother Ori and I think Brother David Madden, maybe Brother Charlie Smith, was going around the neighborhood and praying for people, and heard about a man across the street from this church that we used to go to years ago. Man sick over in a house. They went to pray for him. And that man said, well, there's a woman that's really sick. She has rheumatic fever in the basement. That was my mom. And they went down there and prayed for my mom. And part of the reason I tell you that is that's why I'm here today, is because of some brethren's letting their light shine. And they went down to in an unsuspecting place. How would they ever have known that through that woman, Bell would pop up? They might have thought, well, you know, there's not much hope for that family. They're from Arkansas. They just lived back in the backwoods and had no religious teaching at all. And it's a family that just didn't have much potential. But you never know, folks, when you let your light shine, when we have this character that's needed to brighten life. Ask yourself this morning, am I a creative person? I've been amazed I've been amazed at what the men in the jail can do. I have a cross that was made out of garbage bags, and I watched them. These men are creative. They'll take garbage sacks and they make a fine thread out of it, real long. I've watched them, and very creative. They also can, it's called kite flying in the jail. They can take their letters, and I've watched them throw a letter with a string at another garbage sack tied onto it, and it would go way across the floor and go underneath two sets of doors and go into the in a door that they wanted to communicate with people. Very creative. Sometimes necessity is the mother of inventions. But I want to say to us today, if we can be a little bit creative, possibly the Lord can help us to get out of a rut that we're in. Maybe we're in a rut. Maybe we're in a place we don't know what to do. Maybe we have a foreboding fear that something evil is about to come in our country. Something is going to happen. Maybe you share a burden that I have that is going to be like that. God, help us to be creative and know how to work for the Lord and know how to keep going when the lights go out. Lord, help us today. I believe being this definition of character that's needed to brighten a life, it said to be considerate, to be resourceful, reliable and resilient. That's something very necessary for us today, to be resilient, to not just give up, to not just throw in the towel when things are going against us. I believe it said Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. He believed in things that were not seen, as seeing those things which existed. He looked beyond the visible. He looked at the invisible. That is where the faith comes, is from seeing the invisible and seeing things that are not as though they appear. That's where we need help today, to encourage us to say, I cannot see what lies before. And so we cling to Him the more. He leads us till this life is o'er. Trust and obey. We need that kind of faith, don't we, that can look beyond our present woes, our present fears, our present tears, our present state of mind. We need something to look beyond. I'm going to tell you, when you see the spark in people's eyes, they can see a little bit about tomorrow. There's something there. They have hope. Things are going to be better. Things are going to make, we're going to be able to go through. We're going to be able to succeed. We need that little spark of hope. When we lose that and we fall into a place like these four leprous men, we stay here, we die, you know, we've got to, somebody's got to get a little courage here to do something. Words that mean to brighten a life. Inspire, comfort, cheer, motivate, uplift, rejuvenate. Wouldn't that be good if all of us had a little bit of these words and Christ's life and His inspiration within us? I think it's good for us. Inspire comes from the Latin word inspirare, if I'm pronouncing that right, I-N-S-P-I-R-A-R-E. Here's what it means. It literally means to breathe into. Its root spiritus means to breathe and gives us the English word spirit, aspirate, expire, perspire, and transpire. To inspire someone, we must breathe into him the vision and strength he needs to accomplish a task. He said, you're the salt of the world. You're the salt and you're the light. Now the Lord help us today to breathe into somebody, to everybody we possibly can, to breathe a little bit of inspiration. You can make it. You can do it. I believe you can. We have a song that says, when the days are weary, long nights dreary, or just the opposite. What? Remember that, Brother Bobby? I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when I said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? When my sad heart aches and it nearly breaks, does He care? Does He see? And the chorus of that song says, oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. I want to encourage and to motivate people and everyone. We can make it. By God's grace, we can make it. We can go on. We can be faithful. And to motivate someone, different ways to motivate. I want you to think about your children. How do you motivate them? You go in their bedroom and say, "Sweetheart, get out of bed." You all ever do that? And they just bounce right up. "Good morning, Mama. Good morning, Mama. Daddy, it's so good to see you," and have a big smile. Yours is like mine. The light comes on. It's once in a while when you're running real late, the covers come flying off. Brother Bell, that's abusive. That's child abuse. Well, you're motivating. You're motivating. Look at it that way. You're motivating your children to get out of bed. Come on now, get up, get up, get up. Have you ever poured water on them? Don't tell me. A little. Yeah, well, it might have happened once in a while. But you want to motivate them. It's time to get up. We're running late. So there's little measures you take. You know, the water might be the very last measure. I don't know. And maybe a threatening. You know, you're going to get a spanking if you don't get out of bed right now. And you know, usually the deal is, "Oh, Mama." And you look at the poor little things. Their hair is just sticking out. And it's just horrible. But what do? You motivate them. Come on now, get up. Now, I heard of one man that he'd just walk in and snap his fingers and they would all bounce out of bed. I sleep, when I was a boy, I slept sounder than that, and most of your children probably sleep sounder. And I'm not trying to be a drill sergeant. Do you know, whenever you want to motivate somebody, there has to be someone that breaks the ice or that initiates the motivation thing. And Lord, help us men sometime to do that when we come to service sometimes, to lead out in prayer. Sometimes it falls on the sisters and they'll do that, but men, let's be men. Let's lead out and take charge of things, because we're the one giving the sense of direction in the family, and it's important for us that we be examples. It's so sad when you go and see the unmotivated people and people in darkness. I've asked several people, did you have a functional family? Was your mom and dad together? No, they weren't together. And it's sad to see that. The Lord wants to bless us today, the people of God, to be motivators, to be people that are resourceful, to be resilient. Or maybe I can read a little bit more down here. And this little definition, I want to leave this on the board here for you to think about. And it's a simple meaning. Readily available to act effectively. You might say, I don't have anything. You don't understand. I'm a widow. You don't understand. I'm a poor person. You don't understand that I'm very timid, and I'm afraid that somebody's going to say hi to you. You just don't understand. You don't understand. Yes, I think I do a little bit. I used to, when I was first saved, I come to church and I come home with a headache so many times. This little boy, I remember him looking over the bench and just looking at me, and I was petrified. he'd just look over the bench and see me, and it just like, I didn't know what to do to it. There were so many things to drive me away from church. And there's a lot of things that's going to come your way to keep you from where you should be, shining your light for God. We've got to realize our timidity is something that is we're able to overcome. We can overcome. We can learn the scriptures that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I've learned that you make faces to those little children. I was somewhere and I had to ask the mother, forgive me, because that little child was looking at me and making all these, was mocking me. But I've learned to have fun with those little children. You have fun with them, and you learn to overcome some of your handicaps. Otherwise, we stalemate and we stay in that reclusive place. We stay in a place where we can't do anything. Our hands get tied. And the Lord wants to free us up. He said, you are the light of the world. And He wants us to be readily available. Readily available to act effectively. That means so much. Resourceful comes from the English, from the old French, comes to the English from the old French word resource, R-E-S-S-O-U-R-S-E, resource, resource, however you want to pronounce that, meaning a relief or recovery. I think of that song in our songbook that says, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them from in pity from sin in the grave, weep o'er the erring one, care for the fallen. I maybe don't have all the words, but he said another verse, there's cords that are broken that can vibrate once more. It takes someone with resources to know how to put broken cords back. You see, the Bible said in the book of Proverbs, a brother offended is as a strong castle, and their contentions are they're like the bars of a city. You might help me with that verse. You look that up. But a person that has a wound is hard to get to because there's been years, sometimes, of strongholds built in their life. I tell you what happens. You get hurt. And this happens so much. I've watched this through the years. You get hurt. And it's easy for you to sit back and blame other people. They're the reason. They're my problem. They're the ones that... And what happens through the years is Satan begins to bring things to your mind, and it's just like handing you a brick. You know, those people didn't speak once to you today. You said, no, they didn't. So we take that brick and we put it down. And pretty soon, he's handing us bricks all the time and blocks sometimes, giving us big things. You see, purposely, they meant to do that. They did that on purpose. Yeah, I know. And pretty soon, you have this fortress that's built. And what Satan does, once you get it all built, he says, well, you're moving out now, I'm taking over. And he'll control us. The Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There's something about casting down imaginations. There's something about breaking down strongholds that we need to be watchful of. Be careful, folks, because when we go into the world as a light, we have to realize who we're dealing with and what's going on out here, what's happening. And to be resourceful is something very needful for us today. To be persuasive is something also. And I like the little definition
of being persuasive is guiding vital truths around the mental roadblocks of other people. When you're persuasive, you're able to guide vital truths around mental roadblocks of other people. And believe me, there's a lot of strongholds that's built out of imaginations, a lot of strongholds that's built from hurt feelings, a lot of things that are out there, and we have to be persuasive. I remember with my dad one time as a young person, I didn't always get along good with my dad. There was problems that we had, and I want to say most of it was mine. But before my dad died, it was maybe a year or so before he died, the thought kept coming to me, you need to tell your dad you love him. You need to let him know that you appreciate what he did. And I thought, Lord, you know he's going to cut me off before I get started. He's not going to give me one word edgewise. When he senses what I'm going to do, my dad's going to chop that off. He doesn't respond well to those things. So I called him up and I said, you know, Daddy, I appreciate you. Yeah. I knew what was going to happen, and went on talking. I said, you know, Daddy, growing up, you kept us, when we started to school, you brought all three of us boys brand new pairs of jeans and clothes, and you gave us something to go to school with, shoes and clothes. We had bicycles. You made us look good, Daddy. I sure thank you for that. And he'd start to cut me off again. And after about 10 minutes, every word that he said, I said, Daddy, remember that time you bailed me out of jail? Remember that time, Daddy, you did this for me? Remember that time you helped me and you loaned some money? Daddy, you remember? And pretty soon it got quiet. I'm telling you today, I'm so glad that I told my dad that. Because when I'm holding his hand at the last part of his life, everything I wanted to tell him, I'd already told him. Most everything. I didn't have anything that I regretted. I want to tell you, when you live for the Lord and you're the light of the world, there's going to be places that we have to follow a few examples. We have to readily. We have to, with a little bit of preparation, a little preparation, we can truly shine as a light in this world. A little preparation will help us. I want to encourage you today, being readily able to act effectively and act efficiently is something I crave in my heart. Brother Leslie said one time, the world at its worst needs a church at its best. And I really believe that today. The world at its worst needs a church at its best. And saints, today I believe if we're going to shine and shine for God, we're going to have to do a little bit of preparation. We're going to have to realize, I've heard people say, well, I was going to testify, but I knew the devil would jump on me. Get used to it. I want to tell you, I have seen him come against me with flat tires and discouragement and all kinds of things that just stem from the below. It was things that I knew. It was aimed at me. I'm going to throw Bell off today. He thinks he's going to do something here. I'm going to step in the middle. I'm going to step in. I'm going to intervene. I'm going to throw something at him and make his thoughts all muddled. I'm going to throw something at him and he'll feel so inadequate and all. I'll get him down. That's how Satan works that way. Get used to it and look at it. Say, praise the Lord. It's going to be a good day today because I sure have been having a time. I sure have been having a time. You heard of that family that started down the road, and that family was so upset, their children, you all don't say another word for the next so many minutes. And this little boy had left his shoe at that last truck stop, they thought, or something, it fell out of the car. They went for a long ways. It's, Mama, I left my shoe back there. Well, why didn't you tell? Well, you told us not to say anything. You know, you can have things like that happen to us, and we have to realize the enemy of our soul is against us. He is out to cause us trouble. But being resourceful It's relief or recovery. Chords that are broken can vibrate once more. A little relief and recovery sometimes can get people singing again. I remember when my mom had rheumatic fever for the second or third time, I can't remember, she had it and wasn't given very good prospect of recovering fully, but she had that rheumatic fever. And I remember this older sister, Sister Emery, came into our house and she said, "Now, Ruby, you're going to walk." And I remember my mom said, "Oh, Emery, I don't feel like." She said, "No, you put your arms around my neck. And she was laying flat on her back in the bed. "You put your arms around my neck, and when your feet touch the floor, you start praising the Lord." And I can tell you, as a little boy, as I watched that happen, and Mama taking her foot, walking on that old wood floor there in our home, I remember that incident so clearly. "Now, Ruby, every time you take a step now, you praise the Lord." And Mama started doing that. And you know, she gained back all of her walking abilities and everything. There's some people that are born to inspire. I believe there's some people that have a knack for doing that. And some of us have to work at it. And you might be that person that feels like, "I am just so limited. I just don't know how to..." That's okay. Just don't get settled down too far and think you're okay and everything's going to be fine. There's some work for us to do. Amen. There's a little work for us to do. I'm not going to give up. It's like a little bird one time I saw that had got into a grease trap on the roof around the exhaust fans there. That restaurant, they had a grease trap, and that grease-laden air would come out and it would settle, and they had a little thin box around the outside. It would fill up with oil, and to keep it off of the roof, they had that little trap, and that bird got in it and died. And I'll never forget, I was cleaning that out, the bird was still holding his head up. To the last breath, he had his head up. And I thought there, "Lord, help me to keep my head up till the last breath. Help me not to give up, not to give in, not feel sorry for myself, and not just mope around here. Help me to keep my head up." And that helped me. It's helped me to this day. The root word, again, let me read just a little more. Its root word, this resource, means rise again. A resourceful person draws on whatever resources he has available to rise up again. Whatever resources we have available. I've mentioned this so many times, but my father-in-law has been an inspiration to me. One time in Mexico, he was pulling teeth. And he had took a little crash course in dental work. Today, he would probably be arrested. My father-in-law had a little tool kit of tools and things to pull teeth with. And what was his... In his little office, what was on the outside of his door? The little...
Dr. Pullum.
Yeah, Dr. Pullum. Something like Dr. Pullum. James Husky, oh my, what a man. He had a light rigged up off a 12-volt battery on a car, and this woman was so bent over with a disease that had her so bent over that he had to lay on his back and work on her teeth upside down. That was the only way he could do it. He rigged up that light on that car battery and stayed there until he got that poor woman's teeth fixed. Or at least that the bad tooth that was out. What's that do for you? You think, well, I'm glad I'm not a dentist. Or do you think, well, if Brother Husky can do it, I can do it. I remember one time he had tried to help this family, and they had helped this family. In fact, this lady they tried to help just passed away this past few days ago. Her husband got killed on a bulldozer doing some work and went down the mountain, and he was dead. The Husky family reached in and ministered to this family. And years later, I went with him to this little town, walked up a little hill, and here was this family. The woman was still alive and still had the old Ringer washing machine that he had given her. They give this woman a Ringer washing machine. Y'all remember? I'm looking at the gray head. Y'all remember? Thank the Lord. There's a few who remember those old Ringer washers. They'd take your hands. You get your hands in there, and it'd squeeze the juice out of your hands almost. They were awful. My mom had one for a while, but anyway, here was that old Ringer washer. The only problem with it, well, one of the problems was the leg had rusted off of it, and they had propped it up with a block. And when my father-in-law got underneath there, this thing fell off of that block. And one of the problems is it had an arm that stuck out in the roller thing, and this arm would just start going wild. And it was making a full circle, and my father-in-law was done. Every time that head would come around, it would just almost hit up. Only my father-in-law could get into such problems. But, you know, he fixed that old thing and got it going again. He was run off the road by some people one time. He didn't let that stop him. In the sand, they jacked the back of the old panel truck. They jacked it up, raised it up out of the sand, and put a rope around the tire. It was a manual transmission, and put that truck in third gear and lined up a bunch of people, and they would pull that like starting a lawnmower. I'm talking about resourceful this morning. I'm not talking about doing crazy things. I'm talking about surviving. Survival mode. Survival, folks. It's nighttime, and we've got to learn how to survive and to be resourceful. Creative. We have to learn how to be available. And it's not always easy sometimes. There's a lot of things we have to go against our personal feelings, but the Lord bless us today. Another part of letting our light shine, and some of the character that we need, is to learn how to give comfort. And it means to soothe in time of grief or fear, to console. Literally, comfort means to strengthen, and it comes from the Latin comforter, its root being fortis or strong. Other words meaning strong are force and fort and fortitude, effort, and enforce. To be able to comfort, that's a big one. I wrote down, I know I'm running out of time, the book of Psalms. And if you don't mind, I'll just quote some of these. The 23rd Psalm, he said something to the effect, "Thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me." Putting God into the smallest things of life and looking at Him and saying, "Lord, You've comforted me through this song. You sent Your Spirit, and Your Spirit gave me this song, and Your Spirit inspired me with this word," is really acknowledging God in all things. We see Him everywhere. He's present. He's present even if we can't see Him. He's there. There's a saying that I really believe is true, and sometimes that I found that being with a family that has lost loved ones, there's a ministry of presence. A ministry of presence. The devil has accused me different times. Well, what did you do for the... You know, I can't always say that I had these eloquent words and I was able to do wonderful things. I can't tell you that. Standing here today, there's been times that I've left people in tears. I've left them and their whole lives are shattered. But there's something about a ministry of presence. It's just simply being there sometimes. It's being there and showing up that means a lot. He said, your rod and staff, they comfort me. And I believe that God is able to give us comfort. In the book of Isaiah, he tells us that 61 and 2, he was able to comfort all that mourn. This is again letting our light shine. Comforting those that mourn. You know, I have looked around and I try to keep my eyes open when I'm at a funeral. I try to look around. I try to just see, Lord, anybody I can comfort? And I saw this young man and there was nobody paying him any attention. And it was his father-in-law that passed away. And I snuck up behind him. I put my arm around him. And I'm not saying this to nothing special that I did, folks. This is something every one of us can do. This is not limited to the ministry. No. This is what all of us can do. There's words that we can say. Not just little empty cliches, but there's little things that we can do. We can comfort those that mourn. It's being resourceful to me. I think of different ways. How can we do it? We're called, and young people, listen, this is a difficult time, but listen, God is resourceful and He's going to give you things to do in a dark time. And letting your light shine, be creative. You say, well, nobody's done that before. Well, if the Lord's inspired you, you be the first one. You do something to comfort. You do something to give aid to those that are hurting. 2 Corinthians, I might just read this one. Bear with me just a second. 2 Corinthians, I want to read this scripture 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You let God break your heart and you'll find out how to comfort people. You let some things just tear your world up, turn it upside down, and you will find a way to help people. You will find a way to be a comfort. We won't come up with emptiness. We'll come up with something. Listen, I'm going to share with you. This is what the Lord helped me with, if we say anything or not. It's not in our words that always comforts. There's other ways that God can use us to comfort. But He is a God of all comfort. And Paul said there's an experience that goes along with this. I haven't experienced every kind of disaster. I haven't experienced a lot of things. Maybe you've experienced, but the few things that I have, it seemed like many things now, but I found out there's ways of the comfort of God. It's even been something as simple as a little cardinal coming in a day when it was snowing. It was about 10 degrees and it was snow all over the trees. This little bird came right outside our window and was singing at daylight. And I thought, what has that bird got to sing about? It doesn't look very good today for him. in my perspective, but he found something to sing about. They can be small things. The Lord can use us as his people to comfort others. There's a need for it today. Philippians 2 and 1. I'm almost finished. Philippians 2 and 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. First Thessalonians 4 and 18. I won't read all of this, but he's speaking about those that had lost loved ones. And he told them what was going to happen. The Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout, and the ones that are dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain are going to follow after. And he said in the last verse here, there, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. I want to share a song with you. I really didn't come prepared to sing this. I don't do very good sometimes. But this song came to my mind the other day, and Tennessee Ernie Ford sang this song. It's beautiful. I love to hear him. Long gone, but I love to hear him sing. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired, weak, and worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near, and the day is past and gone, at the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. And then the last verse I want to share with you all this morning is found again in the book of Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter and the 12th verse. And I want to leave this with you. And I hope maybe we could even memorize this if you haven't already. It says this. I haven't memorized it, so something to challenge us. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, as we do toward you. The Lord make you increase. The Lord help you to be available and act effectively and efficiently. The Lord help you to do that. Who is the people you work with? Who's out there? Sister Noreen Harmon one time said she just loved to hang out clothes and whistle, and she did. And her neighbor, unbeknownst to her, told her when she was leaving and they were moving, she said, "Oh, I just love to hear you whistle when you'd hang out your clothes." What effort does it take to whistle? Oh, not very much. But having a joyful heart, it means everything. And what we do means everything. And here in La Ronger, Louisiana, the light hasn't shone to every darkened place. There are still places to go. There's still people. I look at it this way. There's people that are waiting for your touch. There's people that's waiting for your helping hand. Lord, give us eyes to see. Not everybody can do what I'm going to tell you about, but I saw a woman one time, and there was a little cross by the side of the road not far from our house,
And she was weeping. As I drove by, there was a lot of things that came to my mind. And I couldn't help but I stopped. And I said, "Are you all right?" She said, "Yeah, this was my nephew that died and he was killed here." And I thought, maybe I can't stop and talk to everyone I see in grief, but I can kind of throw a prayer their way. Lord, would you help them today? Would you visit them? This person has their facial features are not very happy. They're sad, and possibly they're carrying a big load of baggage. Lord, would you help them today to be able to unload some of their baggage and to be able to drop some of their cares and cast some of those on you? Little things like that. Shining our light. You're the light of the world. You're the salt. Both of those are silent. Salt and light, they don't make noise, but they're so effective. And the God of our life, help us today and awaken us to see what all we can do more for Him. Thank you all for your time this morning, and you've been through a lot. Anybody that knows you know that, but I believe we still can be light. I don't think it's over yet. I think there's time for us to keep going on. Remember being creative. Remember having just a little bit extra, or do just a little bit more. This Sister Baxter that was in Guthrie was telling a year or so whenever we had a minister's meeting, I can't remember, but she was telling about she wanted to go to a park with her family. They have a large family. Have a picnic. And she said, "I looked up in that line and there was people from all over the park coming in there. They just thought it was soup kitchen and they just lined up and come through there." And they even told her after they went through the line, said, "We'll be back next year when you come back. We'll be back." And she just kept feeding them. Just kept feeding them. Resourceful. Let's not look at anything more. If we have 5 loaves and 2 fishes, look what happened. There's lots of things we can do, and I just want to encourage y'all to keep doing, keep going, keep working. One of these days we'll get a reward if we do. Pray for me.